Hi, I'm Jackie Tantillo, and this is Should Have Listened to My Mother.
I consider myself very lucky to find myself enrolled in the International Mothers University. It's called the Should Have Listened to My Mother podcast, now in its fourth season. Thanks to all my listeners worldwide, I get to share these maternal experiences, these lessons of wisdom and even heartbreak with you. At no cost, by the way, like all those other universities and colleges out there. Please tell a friend. You can find Should Have Listened to My Mother podcast anywhere you listen, any platform, including YouTube, and subscribe. When someone introduces themselves, initially mentioning that everything they own is covered in paint, well, I had to smile. I thought, how refreshing. Healing properties of art, comedy, self-worth and value, longing for a mother's love, regrets and hopes, relationships with money, significance of laughter and improvisation. Those are just a few of the topics we'll be speaking about throughout this conversation. Angel Rhodey is the creator, CEO, and founder of Brush Capades, an online creative studio with virtual art lessons in acrylic painting, watercolor sketching, and caricature drawing. Raised by a single mom, Angel now finds herself in the middle of an emotional struggle, which is more complicated than expected. Hello, Angel, and welcome to Should Have Listened to My Mother.
Hello, Jackie. I'm so excited to be here.
Before we go any further, just so people know, I love the derivation, your name, the spelling A-N-J-L, and your last name is R-O-D-E-E.
Does it get more phonetic? The answer is no.
How did that all come about? Is there some creative story behind that?
There is an embarrassing creative story. When I was 14, you know, that's pretty much when Tiffany drops the Y and puts the I at the end of her name. Yeah, I pretty much, I didn't think the Halo Wings version, which is my name, was clever enough for the corner of a painting. So I went super phonetic and then, you know, 15 years later decided there just weren't enough vowels in it anymore. And it just looks like I can't spell. And so I tried to go back to the Halo Wings version and everybody was like, no, this is you now. So kind of stuck with it.
I
do too. And as a business owner, I'm highly Googleable. I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's unique. A-N-J-L. I was like, wow, that is very, very cool. So we are here to chat about what you do and who you are and how you became who and what you are.
Yes.
I'd like to begin with your mom's name and how did you refer to her?
I refer to her as Mom, and her name is Pat. A lot of the world knows her as Patsy Nell. Her more intimate circles, I will say. She's very Irish. Her birthday is literally St. Patrick's Day, and Pat Nell is her middle name. So Patsy Nell is also what I call her.
I believe I'm speaking to you, you're on the West Coast, and I'm on the East Coast. So where were your beginnings?
My beginnings were in the middle, in the Midwest. And actually, I'm back here now. I was on the West Coast for 10 years and have recently moved back to the middle. I grew up in a little town smack in between Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin. The town is called Oconomowoc. It is spelled O-C-O-N-O-M-O-W-O-C. And when people see it written and they ask me how to pronounce that, I always respond, Bedford Falls. You pronounce it Bedford Falls. Because
that's a Native American name, right?
It is very Native American, sure. Yes. And it literally, you can just see Jimmy Stewart running down the street yelling, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter.
Right.
it is a cute little downtown area, and it's just lovely and charming. And I'm back in my hometown now for the first time since I was 18 years old.
Wow.
I just moved back like 3 months ago.
Good, good, good. So you're in a bit of a conundrum emotionally.
I am.
You told me very little bit about your situation, but your mom was a single mom. Tell us what it was like you as a young child.
One thing is she was never very good with money. She also had a job and did pretty well at the job, but we moved every 2 years because We would get kicked out of the place we were living because other things took precedence over paying rent. Mm-hmm. And so we were a bit nomadic, sometimes in the same town, but there was a stint in Florida in there as well. And that was, other than the fact that my mom really, being a parent wasn't her favorite thing. She was always pretty removed. She felt pretty removed, which is funny because she was a therapist and did a lot of helplines. And we brought in battered women and their families and were a halfway house for a little while. Our home was, so there was a lot of trying to save other people without really paying a lot of attention to us, the three kids at home, four kids at home sometimes.
Tell me a little bit about your siblings.
There's a set of twins, 2 years younger than me. We had a baby brother who died in childhood of leukemia. And then there was another brother from my mom's second marriage, and he passed away in 2008, I believe.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So, yeah, thank you. There, two of us left. I mean, sorry, three of us left. I have two siblings left, yeah.
Was your mom a single mom before you were even born or shortly after you were born? When did you not have a father in the picture?
My baby brother died when I was five, and my aunts tell me that my parents' marriage didn't survive that. I didn't get that message from my parents. They weren't, they thought it best not to fight or be sad or have important conversations in front of us. Makes sense. We were kind of young, but I guess the marriage started deteriorating when I was five, but my dad didn't move out until I was 10. So from 10 on, mom was a single parent.
But he was there for those 5 years living in the house?
Yes.
Wow. And was it confrontational or was it contemporary, amicable, divorce, separation kind of relate? What was the house like, the vibe?
It was not amicable as I understand it. But yeah, I meant it when I said my I didn't see it coming because when my parents had a fight, they'd go sit in the car in the yard. When my little baby brother was dying, they'd talk about it in the car yard. So like my brother died, I didn't know he was sick. And my parents divorced, I didn't know they were fighting. So everything just was kind of a surprise to us at all times. We didn't really see the conflict or...
Right. You never knew anything. Your brother was sick. How long
Never knew my brother was sick. Yep.
They wanted to keep, to protect you guys from that too, or?
I think that was it. Yep.
Can you, any part of you understand that philosophy?
I do to an extent, but I have to tell you, as a five-year-old at the time, I thought that I contributed to his death. The last time I saw Jeff, I was playing with him with a little toy, and I was kind of making him chase me around the house. You know, he was crawling to get his little toy, and I thought that I wore his little body out.
Oh.
And I hung on to that for a while. I don't know what conversation should have been had around that. And I don't know what is, you know, how much do you expose your kids to that? It's a really good question. I just know that to this day, I have trouble having confrontational conversations with, anyone but my kids. You know, I struggle with
emotional.
That, yeah, mm-hmm.
Because you probably go back to being a little kid again, or whatever it is, psychologically. Yeah. Well, thank you for putting a name to Jeff, too, because it's always good to connect with these spirits, I believe. Because I'm sure he's right by your side. That's a lot going on. She was able to always work as a therapist, mm-hmm. so picking mm-hmm. up and moving, other than paying the bills, was okay with her because her vision was to help only adults. Did she work with children too as a therapist, or was it just women or adults?
It was specifically alcoholics and drug abuse.
Was she an addict of any kind?
She says that she was, although Again, I never really saw it when we were really young. We spent a lot of weekends with my grandparents. And for a second husband, my half-brother's dad definitely knew he was an alcoholic. He was a 2-bottle of vodka a day guy.
Wow. I don't know how these people do it.
It's a commitment.
I can't even have one drink and I'm almost
right?
on the floor.
Yeah.
stamina and, you know, obviously you build that up. It's even more sad, the addiction issues. Okay, so your mom, but she didn't leave you guys. That's something to be said in her favor.
She did not. But the picture that I sent you is how I picture my mom in my youth, pretty much sitting at the kitchen table or something, staring out the window with a cigarette in her hand. She was just kind of removed, you know what I mean? I remember saying to her not long ago, I was really missing my kids. And I said, I would give up 5 years of my life to have one more year with them, you know, at living at home because they were grown at that point. She said, I wouldn't. And I said, I know.
Yeah, you're living proof of that. So she was checked out.
Yes, checked out is the correct.
But you also have responsibility to your other children. Now, the grandparents you mentioned, is that maternal grandparents or paternal?
That was the paternal grandparents.
Paternal. Okay.
Yes.
So did your mom have any family members to lean on?
You know, super good question. If she did, she didn't lean on them. I remember her once saying that she married my dad because she didn't think she had other life options. And no, I don't remember her really leaning on her siblings. She had one sister and 2 brothers. And I will say that my extended family with aunts and uncles and cousins were really close. But did she lean on them? I wasn't privy if she did, which I really do think there's something to somebody who saves people for a living, really craves being saved. And I feel like that kind of describes my mom really well. Yeah.
The irony that, I mean, it's not only portrayed in movies, but in real life, because I've known therapists and family members and friends who have had therapists that are probably in more need of therapy than the patient.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they continue to work. And it blows my mind sometimes. And I'm not, that is a broad brush, but I don't want it to be a broad brush because obviously there's very good therapists out there. But
right.
It's not the first time I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard this. Did she put food on the table? Did she wash your clothes? Or were you the oldest taking care of your siblings?
We all kind of took care of each other. We from pretty young on had a list of chores, and the laundry and the feeding and the cleaning were all on there. So you know, my little brother, my half brother, was born when I was 13. So taking care of him also added to the chore list.
Right, you were the surrogate mom, kind of. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you are running the household basically, and your mom goes off to work, and then she comes back and she's checked out. So when did you figure out that this is not what you wanted?
I'm going to say when, you mean as a parent or as a teen, human living in that?
Yeah, I mean, were you 18 and you said, I'm out of here?
18, went off freshman year to college and never came back, yes. And we all did that. All my siblings did as well. And we actually all carry a little bit of guilt about that because we left my little brother there kind of without whatever guidance we were able to provide as teenagers was gone, but we were kind of in self-preservation mode at that point.
Did your mom give you any advice for college, or you did all that on your own?
Did all that on my own. Really left home without a whole lot of life skills, I would say. And I don't blame her for that. I don't think she had it to give, because she's still kind of lacking in those life skills. And it is something that you kind of hold. At some point in your life, you're you kind of lament the life skills that you weren't given on the way out the door. And then you get a little older and you realize she did the best she could with what she had. But at the same time, I picked it up somewhere. Maybe she could have picked it up somewhere, you know?
Well, I hear that expression so often. And, you know, when I first started this podcast, it was so infuriating to me. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, like, she didn't know what she signed up for. But when emotionally, psychologically, mentally, someone becomes incapable, you have to somehow have that magic wand touch you on the angel, come and touch you and say, you've got to let that go and you have to figure out what you want in your life for yourself.
Yes. Yes. I always, as a child, self-medicated, I guess you'd say, with small animals. I grew up on a farm and I had a large fish tank, aquarium in my bedroom that I always swapped out the wildlife that was in there. Sometimes it was a little snake, sometimes it was some turtles, sometimes it was always something. And then from there to dogs, and from there I have a cat now. My dad always said, I got pregnant in college, and my dad always said, you know, you are making something to love, to love you back. Mm. I'm like, that's probably not inaccurate.
Well, but at least you were longing for that.
Yes.
Obviously, you didn't have it, but at least you were looking forward to that, right?
Yes.
And that was you, and that's wonderful. And when did you start your painting and your artwork?
Painting was always something that I could do. I went back to college when my young marriage fell apart. And so I was a graphic designer and a commercial artist for a good 15 years. But I learned how to paint in Photoshop because undo and delete and layers felt really safe. And I never really got my hands messy with the paint until I started my business. And I can draw, so painting wasn't that far away. But what an amazing self-care thing that really turned out to be. And that's kind
of therapy. I mean, there are people that specifically do art therapy. My sister does art therapy with her young students.
So good.
It's very therapeutic and very healing. So I applaud you for finding that. That's pretty magical. Did your mom have any artistic ability?
She didn't. My dad did. And my mom's brother did. So it's in the family on both sides.
And you mentioned when we first started getting going that her relationship with money was not wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of played it a big part in your role, especially being self-employed and an artist. You have to really have that confidence and believe in yourself.
Yes.
To promote your work.
Yes.
So
yes.
How has that played a role? I mean, a lot of people have issues with money.
Yes. Right? And I learned along the route that just like you have relationships with people, you have relationships and emotional attachments, positive or negative, with money. And I'm really grateful that I have a lifelong relationship with learning. And lucky, too, that we live in a time now where if there's something you don't know, you can search it in YouTube and figure it out. And so I learned to have a more positive relationship with money and with people and with my mother.
And self-worth.
Yes.
Self-worth. And
yes.
Your mom is still alive. Pat's is still alive. How old is she?
Pat is now 82 years old.
And is she a healthy 82 or?
She has advanced COPD, a pulmonary disease due to 3-pack-a-day cigarette habit. And so now she's starting to dive into the dementia world as well, related to her veins, her vascular degeneration, all kind of related. And one of the reasons I moved back here was my mom just needs more help now, not only to watch my other grandkids grow up, but my mom needs more help now. And in theory, I thought that was going to be easier emotionally than it was, because when I lived 2,000 miles away, my relationship with my mom was to call her once a week and make her laugh for an hour, and then go back about my business.
Back to your life.
And
yeah.
And I thought, as a Buddhist, I am pretty able to not obsess too much about our upbringing. My sister really, really struggles with still being so angry at mom that it's hard for her to want to care for her now. And I was kind of surprised that when I got back and I'm more intimately and actively involved, it was kind of hard for me too. And that kind of took me by surprise. I didn't think that was going to be a struggle for me, but it really was.
I applaud you for letting the past go, because I think it's the only way to really live. If you hang on to all that anger and animosity,
yes,
and hurt, you only get this chance once, so we remember, whether, you know, depending if you believe in reincarnation. So I applaud you for
thank you
for
thank
going
you.
And I totally understand that it's hard. You know, you have to be open to whatever emotion hits you when you,
yes,
walk in that door.
Yes. And the switch for me, the thing that was, once I finally just started the doing without getting too lost in the why, the doing, the taking care of her, being proactive in her care, made me feel so strong and positive. And it had nothing to do with our past or my relationship with her even. I was doing right and good things, and I pulled my good feelings from that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's important.
That's
all that you were doing. You were doing good,
yes,
and the right thing. So as your mom was doing all those good things to help all those other people,
yes,
unfortunately, she didn't turn around and have the love radiate,
yes,
to her family. So many missed opportunities, it seems like. Did she ever give you advice, mother-daughter advice, anything?
Nope. To this day, get this story. I said to her once, I had a cancer scare with my female bits. And I thought that her mother died when she was young, when she was 21, when I was a week old. And I always thought she died of lung cancer from smoking. And she told me when I said, you know, I'm looking into the history of her family because my doctor is asking. And
yeah,
she said, well, your grandma died of ovarian cancer. I said, wow, what? Why didn't you tell me? She said, it's none of your business. What?
Oh,
yes, it kind of,
boy,
is my business.
Yeah, big time business. Also, she didn't have a mom either.
Right, yeah, during her mother years. And you know what? I'm sure that grief, that's just hitting me right now, Jackie.
Wow, she's...
I was a week old. I was her oldest kid. Oh, no, I'm going to cry. I had a dog once who died of cancer, and I got another dog right away. And it took a long time to get over resenting that new dog because my beloved dog had gone. And I don't think she resented me, but maybe she resented mothering when she just lost hers. Ooh, that makes sense.
Wow. When her mom died, she was 21.
Yeah.
When your grandmother,
yes,
died, she was 21.
Yes.
And you were?
A week old. Yeah. We passed in the hallway of the hospital.
She got clobbered.
Yes. She got clobbered.
The beginning of the whole experience. I would imagine that explains a lot. You know, she lost her mom at a young age, and now she had a new baby, and she didn't have anyone to lean on. And or that maternal support. Angel, we've been having this incredible conversation, and I thank you for being so open and honest with me. You had mentioned to me that your background is not only in art, but you do improv and comedy, and you incorporate that in your work and your classes, especially in Brushcapades. So,
yes.
How about if you share with us a little bit more about what your classes are like?
Yes, I teach people how to paint a thing, but more importantly, I teach people that they are an artist, that they are creative. We are the only living creature that creates things, and it's inherent to what we are. It's scientifically proven to help with anxiety and depression and sleeplessness. We should do it because it's good for us, not because we're good at it, because we will get good at it the more you do it. But when you think of it as a self-care tool rather than something you're born with, you know, that you are born with it, but we give ourselves a different message after the age of six, right? When we're six, we're all artists and singers and dancers. And at some point, we just decide, oh, that's not my thing. I'm going into accounting now. Or
technology. Or coloring outside or the lines is art,
yes,
too.
Absolutely. Making a mark is the thing. So and you know what? This is something else I probably good that I got from my mom. I teach the why about painting, not just the how, but the why. And I feel like that's really helped me be successful in what I do.
Now, what is it about that, the why, that relates to your mom?
Because she, the therapy aspect, I guess, you know, she cared so much about helping people who were struggling with addiction to move beyond it and live a healthier life. So, you know, I think once a therapist, always a therapist.
Sure.
So when we'd come to her with news as a kid, good news or bad news, didn't matter. Her response would be, well, I'm scared for you. What? Why are you scared for me?
Yeah.
And then we'd have a conversation, you know? So I worry about people as well. Not in a bad way. You know, I care for people.
Oh, therapist's daughter.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's your fourth occupation, maybe.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So brushcapades.com, is that how people can find
Absolutely.
Your virtual art classes?
Absolutely. I teach corporate events around the world, and I'm just starting to offer public classes again.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And you adapted.
You
had to change your whole business to go virtual, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Because I think that's going to be a component that all of us will always use.
Absolutely.
Going forward.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Angel Rohde, thank you so much for joining me on Should Have Listened to My Mother.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back next week with another episode of Should Have Listened to My Mother.